find out what's happening in drag racing around Michigan. Here is the founder of the Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page, Todd Senior Dunham.
Amen, brother, and we're not kidding. Here he is, all the way from Controversial Boulevard. It is Todd Senior Dunham from the Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page, the one-stop shop for everything you need to know about drag racing in the wonderful state of Michigan. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you?
Dandy, on this wonderful Tuesday, what is news in the wonderful world of out there?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I was panicking a little bit because up till just a few days ago, there wasn't really nothing going on. And I thought, how am I going to fill this 5 to 7 minutes with me humming drag racing songs? So, thank goodness.
You did a fine job. Okay.
The 50 guys that I got working for me,
yeah,
scrounged up some information. Not funny thing, but we've had last weekend, we had two racetrack banquets, Mid-Michigan, and 131, U.S. 131 had their banquets, and they crowned all their champions, so congratulations to all those folks that won and placed. Pretty neat deal. Let's see, what do we got? The other thing is, I just got a guy who's been, a lot of the drag racers know this fella. He's been around drag racing for a lot of years. And his name is Burnbox Bob. And I don't know if you've seen any of that on my Facebook page, but we just brought him in. This guy in the burnout box is fantastic. He dresses the part. He's animated. He loves these cars. So we let him in, and we posted some videos up. And we wanted to show him some love because the racers love him. He loves the racers, and a pretty good guy there. So, you know, when you go to the tracks this year, if he's there, you got to watch this guy. You can't miss him. All white, right in front of the burn box, and he's an awesome guy to watch.
Does he work at a track, or is he, what is he? Just a fan?
What he does is he just, I believe the tracks ask him to come out.
Okay.
And run the water box for him. You know, for special events, certain races, whatever it is. Because it's just neat to watch. It's a draw. People love to watch him, his antics and all that stuff. So if you hit my Facebook page, you'll see a couple videos that they posted of him in there, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty nice to watch.
All right, so he's just a guy that goes around Michigan dressed in white, and he's just a fan, and the folks at the tracks let him come in and run the boxes?
He's been doing it for years and years and years. Yep, and it's just, like you say, he's probably one of the biggest fan of drag racing you'll ever meet, and he just loves what he does. The tracks love having him come in, and the drag racers love it when he's there. Like you say, really animated, and the fans like watching him too. So,
wow,
it's pretty neat.
Cool. All right. You know, the funny thing is, it reminds me that I think we were at Mid-Michigan, and we ran into somebody called Burnbox Betty, and evidently, she runs the starting line there too, or the pit, whatever you want to call it. And so I was wondering if that's any kind of relation, or never heard of her, or
that I don't know. That'd be something to ask him when I get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, definitely.
Is your relation running around here? What's going on, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, do you have like a whole franchise of box people? A burn box people? Well, you have a family of burn boxers? Wow.
Exactly. We'll dig into that a little bit more.
Way to go. Get those 50 people on it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So the other thing I did was I posted a little poll.
Oh boy!
On my drag racers page.
You're a brave man.
Yeah, and you know, basically what it came down to was I wanted to ask the racers if they were interested in the eighth mile or the quarter mile. That's kind of because, you know, that's been, you know, a hot button issue for quite some time.
But why is that, though?
So, well, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. I believe a lot of these tracks, you know, the sanctioning bodies, I believe the finals are all done in the eighth mile in, I believe, pro, modified, top, and super pro. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, a lot of these tracks had the folks in the points of those classes vote whether they wanted to run eighth or run a quarter. And most all of them wanted to run the eighth. That's the guys in the points. That's not, you know, the guy that goes out once a month or just hits special events and isn't in the points. That's kind of what I'm gathering. To the tracks, does it make a big difference to them? I notice a lot of the tracks are saying, yes, we wanted the eighth mile. It's better for the racers. It's better for this. It's better for that. I'll go by their word because, you know, I don't know. And to me personally, I'm a racer, and I don't have a problem with the eighth mile. I don't have a problem with the quarter mile. It's just I like to race. I'll do either one. But there's a lot of folks out there that are, you know, really dig that quarter mile, and that's what they want. So, you know, I posted this out there, and man, did this thing just went crazy. it went crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm on Messenger, and I've got three or four windows up, and I'm trying to answer, you know, the Facebook, and I'm going crazy, and it's like, you know, it's getting 9:30, and I got to get up early for work, and I'm like, these guys aren't stopping. Man, this thing is just—it's just blowing up. And I'm looking at kind of the poll results, and it's overwhelming. I believe there's 139 of the people that were in it were for the eighth mile, and there were 40. I think there were 40 that were for the quarter. But that's, you know, basically a yes or no answer, and the comments went down, you know, the reasons they wanted it, the reasons they didn't. But the nice thing I liked about it was they were all positive comments. There wasn't any bashing. There wasn't any swearing. There wasn't any, you know, name calling. It wasn't anything. It was really, it seemed to me to be really calm, and there was a lot of information being passed, which I started a conversation, and I got what I wanted, and it was, I thought it turned out really well. One of the guys mentioned, you know, you started talking about the eighth and the quarter, and then you and I have talked about it a few times about spectators.
Sure.
And one of the guys mentioned, well, maybe the spectators aren't, it's not as big a deal, the eighth to the quarter, as we think, and maybe it's because they don't truly understand bracket racing. You know, how the bracket racing works. Because, you know, the normal person will come in, he'll sit in the stands if he doesn't know a lot about drag racing, and he's going to watch these bracket cars go, and he's going to see one take off, the other one sitting at the starting line, all of a sudden he takes off. It's like, well, why does he get the head start, and, you know, kind of what that's all about. So I figured, well, what the heck, maybe we'll just do a little quick, you know, two-minute bracket 101 thing, and maybe we can help them understand it, and maybe that's some of it, and maybe not all the quarter and the eighth mile. I mean, could it be?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, it gets a little strange, and it depending which way you're going with it. There was some kind of sending kind of folks there, you know, that we were reading, just about all of them. You're right, your eyes get kind of googly. There's a lot of folks that you love the fact how it, unlike politics of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
There's kind of like, help us understand your point, as opposed to you're so stupid. You know, 8th mile this, 8th mile that. I mean, there's always been the go-to arguments, or I should say answers. Drivers want to do the 8th mile because it's softer on parts. Okay. Quarter mile folks, who, if you were grown up with quarter mile, 8th mile is like, you know, the retort is it's the only sport that ever halved itself. You know, baseball doesn't say, well, we had people hurt, so we're going to bring the pitching mound in 30 foot 6 inches now, or 30 foot 3 inches. So it'd be fastball, sinker, you're out. You know, so you got, you know, as much as they're saying, well, you know, the track's too long and stuff like that, if you grew up with quarter mile, you know, you're a quarter mile person, because you see, you know, at Top End, there's lead changes, whatever. Anything could happen. That was one of the draws of drag racing. Anything can happen. Another one of the deals were, all right, so in 2008, in Mile High, they started the 1,000-foot thing for the very fastest classes, you know, because of the unfortunate accident with Coletta Scott.
Yes.
So if that's 1,000-foot for the fastest classes, how did the cars that may be running quote-unquote 19 seconds, how did that evolve to even shorter, you know, to not 1,000 foot, but 660 feet on ones that don't go that fast and would have an easier time slowing down?
Right. And like you say, I don't know exactly who or what started the 8th mile.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if it all came down to, you know, safety was the big issue, and that was, everybody wanted the cars to be safer, and they figured if they slowed them down, that would make them safer. But the thing about it is it doesn't matter truly how short you make the track. The guys are still going to make the cars go.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? They're still going to make them go. And I did see one comment on here, because most drag strips you go to, if it's a quarter mile track, I don't see too many stands all the way to the end of the quarter mile. You know, there's a few tracks where you can get up along the fence and stuff, and you can see them things blasting through the end of the quarter mile. That's like no other. That's really neat.
Yeah.
The 8th mile tracks basically do have stands all the way to the other end. So that was one of the arguments. You can see the race from the start, the middle, the finish, everything from the stands. You don't have to walk or go all the way down there. So I seen that, and okay, you know, I can understand that.
But in Michigan,
go ahead.
No, but I was going to say, in Michigan, I'm trying to think who's got stands just about all the way down. Mid-Michigan has crazy stands. You know,
they do.
Ubley doesn't. God knows what Lapeer's doing. I think that's what the bottom line with Lapeer. God knows what Lapeer's doing.
Yeah. I know Milan, you can go all the way down.
Yeah. 131, I would assume you would.
131 has got a lot of stands, but I don't know if it goes to the end of the quarter mile.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
But even if so, I don't know anybody who sits behind the trap, behind the finish line, you know, even on a quarter mile. I mean, they stand closer right there. You try, kind of like horse racing, you go right at the line and see who wins. You know what's really weird is that they don't have, and it was brought up to us too, it's like, how come they don't have Jumbotrons? Well, because it's not it's interesting if you did, you know, because in that way you could see the replay of who crossed the line first. But, boy, you're talking about all kinds of new different technologies and things, and how do you see that in the sun? You know, you can see it at night. I think it's a fascinating discussion, as long as you keep it as a discussion. I see your point. No, you see my point. I don't see your point. There. And that's how stuff happens.
Right. And I've seen these conversations on other sites.
Sure.
And I don't know if it's because I'm engaging the guys and they know I'm there. You know, you'll get a few kind of odd comments pop up, but for the most part, I've seen them get, like, crazy out of hand. You know, where people just said, hey, I'm either racing a quarter mile or I'm done racing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll quit racing. And I don't see that. So I know even though they may not like the eighth mile, they're going to do it.
Sure.
Because
it's in your blood, man.
They love the drag race. So it really doesn't matter if it's eighth and a quarter. Yeah, they're not going to like it. But still, it's racing. I've got a race car. And I'm going to build it and beat it. You know, that's what I build it for.
I think at one time you actually had it right. First of all, if you're worried that, well, people don't understand it, well, Jesus, whose problem is that? I would say it's the powers that be that should educate or have some kind of something that says this is how the game's played, because it's not intuitive. If you're just Joe Blow off the stands and you decide to come up there and go, well, you're right. You know, exactly the point that you made before. How come this car is waiting? You know, and then he beats that guy, but yet he didn't win. How did that happen? It's bracket is fairly easy. Once you understand the beginning nuances of it, it's fairly easy to understand, and it gets exciting once you do know. If you have, you know, that's what's going to bring people back, that and cars they can root for. And that's what we talked about. And, oh, we do want to say thanks to the Jenowick family for having us over at their points banquet just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a good time,
Boys.
Yeah, that was fun. We had a good time. Food was good. Hospitality was good.
Full house.
Everything was great. You know, and Nick's just crazy. So, you know, that was a blast. You know, like I said, I've never heard him announce, but I would love to.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Pretty sure he's pretty enjoyable.
You know what we would like to do is have Burn Box Betty, and Nick, you know, all in one track. Oh, kids, hang on. You know,
exactly.
However, again, see, the funny thing is, and you and I walk this very fine line. Let it be known to all tracks, not only in Michigan, but everywhere else. All these tracks that are around Michigan are like our children. We like all of them. Equally, we have to. We will talk about certain tracks and other tracks, you know, but don't think if we're saying, wow, we really like, you know, the lemonade stand at this one track that we're dissing all the other tracks that have lemonade stands. Just it comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just like kind of like ESPN guys talk about baseball. They talk about all certain teams and how one team has really great pitching doesn't mean that they're dissing all the other teams. We had that come up too. No, folks, we wouldn't be in this world if we only liked one track or two tracks or whatever.
Correct. And the other thing is, you know, because you have there's like you say, there was not a lot of people that were just dead true to the quarter mile.
Sure,
but there was enough. There was enough that hopefully there can be some special events.
Yeah, satisfy them.
Some of these tracks where these guys can go, and if it's once or twice a month at different tracks where these guys can go and just let them hang out, you know what I mean? Then you're just, you're pleasing everybody.
God love
you. You know, it's making it better for everybody.
Do you know something, Todd? You hit it right on the head. Dear folks, dear track owners who are listening, and we know you're listening because we can see it pops up here. It doesn't say who you are, but it says what city you're listening in from. So we got a pretty good idea who's listening in. What a brilliant idea. Now, here's the bad part, though. The good part of what you just said is you're right. It will satisfy those people. Give them one race, give them two races, give them a quarter mile, get them back in the track. They're enjoying your track. You know, and they'll put up with the eighth. I think if you grew up with quarter mile, you want the quarter mile. If you grew up with the eighth, it doesn't really matter to you because it's the only thing that you know. You know, I mean, we've had a hard time back in the day with bracket, you know, because it's like you come to the line, you win, somebody goes home. You know, not yep. There was no buybacks, there was none of this, none of that. But okay, it's the world as it is. You know, if you did that, if you get, because I think gassers or somebody, the four-speed cars, when they come to town, I think they do quarter mile. But it'd be interesting to see one whole race of all the regulars try to do quarter mile. The bad part of all that is how many tracks can pull that off.
Right.
In Michigan. I mean.
Right. I don't know, obviously, I'm pretty sure that just about every track you can run a quarter mile at. But there's got to be a break point somewhere because, like you say, if you're going to come in and if you're running, you know, maybe mid 8 seconds in a quarter mile,
right?
You need a little bit of room to slow down.
Yeah. So that gives you what? It gives you Lapeer. It gives you 131. It gives you Milan. I don't know if it gives you Mid-Michigan, does it?
Mid-Michigan, they can run some pretty quick cars there and get them slowed down. I don't think there's going to be too much of an issue there. But like you say, it's all up in the air.
I mean,
what they want to do.
It's basically when we're here, it's two uncles talking on the back porch, you know,
yep.
High in the sky kind of stuff. Wouldn't it be great? You know, it's like, here's, I think what would make some people happy or maybe not. What if you ran, everybody runs 1,000? Compromise?
Is it a compromise? There's another poll. Great. Here we go. Another night with no sleep. Oh.
Good news, Todd.
You're going to do this, Paul. You're in charge of this,
Paul. Todd Sr. says he wants to see 1,000 miles or 1,000 foot. Are you with him or are you a goofball? Sign here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, good news.
The other thing is, like I say, All of the finals for the bracket guys are all in 8th mile.
Yeah.
So basically, these bracket guys, which there's a crap ton of them, they're basically practicing and racing all year for this final event.
Right.
So for them, it really, I don't believe it doesn't make sense for them to run the quarter and then go down to the 8th, because this is what they've been doing all year. They've dialed in. They're ready to go. This is what they're doing. So it's not an easy thing to change. And, you know, if you're going apples to apples, yes, you have cut the quarter mile in half with the 8th. But my truck runs 660 and an 8th, and it'll run 1040 and a quarter, which is 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's really not a big difference if you think about it that way. See what I'm saying?
No, which way am I thinking about this? Okay, so you run 4 more seconds. Is that a...
If you're running, if everybody says that running an 8th mile, boom, you're done, and it's too fast. You don't get to watch it. It doesn't last. The race doesn't last long enough. It's only a few seconds shorter. So is that really a complaint?
Sure it is.
See, that's where I, as a racer, I don't see that big a difference to me, but that's why we did the poll, to find out what everybody thinks of that. And there are a lot that go the other way. So, oh, yeah, it is. You know, you got into the argument where it's a lot easier on parts.
Sure.
But then the other guys say, you're basically already in high gear at the end of the 8th mile. And basically, you're just hanging on and enjoying the other 8th. So is there really that big a difference in, you know, what do you want to say, nutrition? or attrition,
right?
You know, on car parts. Like you say, I'm not saying it's right one way or the other. I'm just being devil's advocate.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, it really is, because for every side, there is a counter side, and there's a logical counter side, too, which makes it just incredible. I mean, the one thing I would like to find out, though, is from sanctioning bodies, how did door slammers classes get to 660 from the 1,000? Because I'm trying to remember, in 2008, did door slammers have to go to 660 and fuel and everybody go at 1,000? Or was everybody else running the quarter mile and then the top three went down to 1,000, everybody else ran the quarter? It's almost moot point, but just for a historical note, I would love to know the answer to that.
Yeah, and as far as I know, you know, because the top fuel funny cars all went to 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
But I think bikes and pro stocks are still running quarter mile.
Right, yeah, so...
So why didn't those change?
See, that's the whole thing. How did it change? Because then we got folks tagging on our knees and going, okay, look, there have been plenty of deaths in drag racing. Not a whole lot. Trust me, for as many races as go down, it's an amazing safety. I think it's one of the best safety situations in all of sport. So Why did one death say, wait, we got to immediately go to 1,000, you know, and that's, and then they go, well, then there you go. Then it was an overreaction and everybody else should have kept it at a quarter mile. All right, cool. I seriously do believe if you grew up with quarter mile, you want quarter mile. If you didn't, it probably doesn't matter to you. If you're a racer, you like the idea that it's soft on parts. If you're a owner of a track, allegedly, it has something to do, or not allegedly, but it from what we've heard, it has something to do with insurance rates and stuff. Because I could about imagine how much it would cost to go to your State Farm dealer and say, I have this track with people and methane, you know?
Right.
You wonder.
And I did hear the insurance and all that stuff mentioned. And I, you know, that I don't know. That I have no clue on, so I couldn't comment on that one way or the other.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if somebody could.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that the difference between an eighth and a quarter mile.
I didn't know that either, you know.
Which, you know, raise your rates or whatever it is, I don't know. That would be something I would ask, and I don't know that I would get an answer from a track owner, you know, but I don't want any numbers thrown out, but
no.
Is there a substantial difference between the two?
You know, the funny thing
is, something else.
We talked to Nick Jenowick. Matter of fact, he's going to be up on the 515 next week, Nick Jenowick of the Ubley Dragway. Because at one time, there was all these ideas of you got to get fannies in the seats.
Yep.
Have to. You, in order to grow the sport again, it's just not the racers. You got to get some, I mean, if you want a purse, it kind of helps to have the ticket prices offset. Now, there's one place that is exempt from all that. That's Northern Michigan. Because
right.
For some kind of reason, I think somebody wrote in and said, look, man, if you had two chickens running down the thing, you guys would have full house. You know, they have a wonderful sense of community and all kinds of people. It's a racetrack that should be examined by many, many others. You know, how the heck do you get this kind of loyalty from this kind of people? But that said, how do you get fannies in the stands? And one of them was, well, what if you had a band in between rounds on a flatbed or something like that? Talking to Nick, he goes, great idea, thought of it, you know, but you have to have crowd control, you have to have security, you have to watch out for the knuckleheads who are drinking for this concert. You know, when does the concert begin? And all of a sudden he starts listing off all these logical ideas where people never, ever thought of from a track owner's perspective. It's like, ew, yeah. I mean, you got to do something. And NHRA is their worst enemy. I try to get people in because they so promote the top three classes. You know,
yep.
Show something on TV, show door slammers, which is near and dear to our hearts. You know, the smoke and noise, that's kind of cool, you know, but then again, it goes back to what you said before. You know, do you want to sit through a 3-second race? Your eye doesn't comprehend 3 seconds. You know, you can't write your name in 3 seconds.
Exactly. I think I found out what draws everybody to Northern. They must have a smell of chocolate chip cookies or bubble gum in the air. And that draws everybody there.
In the middle of all those trees? Yeah.
Exactly.
Middle of all those Christmas trees?
And did you notice that one of the comments were, you know, come on, Brian, you can't use your track as an example because everybody from miles around ends up at your track Friday and Saturday nights.
True.
So, you know, and that's on a regular bracket night. That's not a special event. They're just, they draw them. It's phenomenal.
But you know what? You got to tip your hat to Brian because, yeah, you're in a place where there's, at one time we said there's limited things around you. So all the pageantry of, you know, the cars and the speed and the wonderfulness, you know, you kind of got, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. And then somebody goes, well, there's fishing around here and there's whittling. And I mean, they went all through these other like things. It's like, yeah, but they don't really measure up to a drag strip. However, you can have a drag strip and nothing else around and you could not, you know, there's a 50-50 chance you don't fill that place or you don't grow that place or it dies on the vine. So that you're right. There's something about chocolate chip cookies in the air. I mean, we're kidding, of course. But, I mean, it's a very well-run track, you know. I mean, and they got loyalty and community like none other, you know. And that's you're right, and they're the only game in town. I don't know if somebody from Marquette is going to go to Milan. Maybe they will. You know, but won't you stop off at Northern Michigan first?
Yeah.
Because this is...
And like you say, you get right back to it. If you have the thing that somebody's interested in, they're going to keep coming back.
If you had a good time, if you had a good experience.
Yep. And you still have to figure that out. And like I say, if we could do a better job of explaining bracket racing to, you know, Joe Public.
Yeah.
And just show them how it works instead of just saying, here we go, there it is, and you understand it on your own. Good luck with that. And the guys are going, this doesn't make any sense to me. Because sometimes, you know, you actually have to go over it a time or two before it registers on how everything is supposed to work. Yeah, that's the main part of it.
It's everything is not baseball. The guy throws it, you hit it, you run. But, you know, if you're going to try to explain football, okay, here's the nickel package, here's the 2-4, and they're going to go, what? Wait, who stop? You know, I mean, most people watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. Okay.
Right.
Or some people, I should say. You know, because they don't understand the nuances. You know, what's a wide receiver? You know, what does a linebacker do? You know, and I think, seriously, that's kind of CKIWI Radio 76 job. We're trying to make it so everybody, Joe Average, understands this wonderful sport. It's not something where greasy pants guys with dirty hair and they're trying to push. I mean, this is not like drag racing 59. You know, when everybody was like weird, we've never run into a racer that wasn't fun to talk to, you know, or didn't want to talk, or track owner, the same, well, okay, one or two, but, geez, nameless here. You know, one last question I want to ask before we got to split out of here is, when you race the blue car, and see, Todd, you're in this wonderful place, and we're so lucky to have you here on CK because you see it from both sides. We see it from one side. We see it from spectator marketing kind of side. You see it from boots on the ground and then what's happening around the thing. So you have like a special decoder ring.
Cool.
Every time that you go out and say you win your class, and I understand it's the difference of the day and all that, but generally speaking, can you break even if you win your class financially?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you win once a year, no.
Right. But if you win that day, you covered
your... If you win that day, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll cover it. As long as they have, you know, whatever their purse is, as long as they have the cars they need there to cover that purse. Sure. Yeah, you'll cover your expenses for that day. At least I know I would.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what we're looking into. It's an interesting thing because, of course, you know Randy Lindemood, you know his father, yep. Roger Lindemood, and he's with us here at CK. He's got a beautiful, and I do mean, I got to take over to see it. It's a knockout beautiful white Challenger with Color Me Gone on the side, and it stays in the barn covered because it's too expensive to come out and race. And that's like one of the wildest things, and it's like, oh, dude, sell it to me, you know. However, he wouldn't take the Black Beauty in trade, so it's like, oh, okay, better on gas. But yeah, that's what we're like, man, how many cars, you know, how expensive is it? And let's talk about this sometime down the road. How expensive is it for a gentleman like yourself who doesn't have, you know, the Peterbilt pulling the truck into the, you know, the track and doesn't have the onboard machine shop and the whole stuff? You know, the guy that works 9 to 5 and then races on weekend, you know, we don't probably want to know exact numbers because, of course, it's different from everybody. But we kind of want to give the people the idea, look, this isn't just filling up your tank with gas and going.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. You're filling up the tow vehicle. You're filling up the race car. You're talking about your maintenance, you know, that you have to do to the car before you get there.
Yeah.
You're talking about entry fees, your me buybacks. You know, first and second round, you've always got your buyback money in there. Food,
your helper,
you know, you gotta eat while you're there.
Yeah.
So, you know, to round it up, you're probably looking, probably just a guessment, $150-$165 a day.
Right. That's if nothing breaks.
If nothing breaks.
The racer's prayer.
If nothing breaks, right? If it breaks, then you tow it back to the trailer, you winch it on there and tuck your tail between your legs and go home, put some overtime in, sell a couple of your suits, and put her back together again.
Putting it back together again. Todd, we got to shuffle the buffaloes right here. Stay on the line, won't you? We got to talk a little bit offline here, okay. But always great to have you with us. Always a pleasure. Now, remember, Todd Sr. Dunham from Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page is here every other week. You don't want to miss him at 4:30, kids. I mean, think of all the information you just got right there. Well worth millions of dollars or $160 per week.
Enough to pay my 50 guys that work for me.
You bet. Really? You feed them?
Not much. Especially these last 2 weeks.
I got Greg. Jeez. Anyways, we're glad you're with us. Thanks, Todd. We'll see you. Hang on the line. We'll get you right after this. Right now, CKW High Radio 76.